Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Bow together in prayer. Let's seek the Lord. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we set our hearts in thy presence. We draw near to the throne of heavenly grace. And we do so through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one of whom we have been singing. We thank thee for the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We praise thee that we have one in the glory who represents us, who pleads our cause at the right hand of the Father, one whose eye is upon us now, even as we gather here for this time of public worship. We lift our hearts in praise and adoration to thee, rejoicing in our dear Saviour and all that he came to do and all that he accomplished as our representative upon the earth. We thank thee for his perfect life of obedience. We thank thee that he kept the law that we had broken, kept it in every detail, and he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We praise thee for the one who took our place and died for us. We thank thee afresh for the substitutionary work of our dear Saviour. In my place condemned he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. And we can say, hallelujah, what a Saviour. We pray for your blessing as we come to listen to your word today. Remember the Reverend Nelson as he opens up the book of God. And as he brings the message that thou hast given to him for this time. We pray as a result the Lord will be glorified and magnified. And that our hearts will be touched. We thank thee for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and the proclamation of it. May he know wisdom and power the fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit as he breaks the bread of life to us all. We pray that thou will draw graciously near, that your presence will go with us in the word, that you will make our hearts teachable and tender. And Father, may we feel the benefit of being beneath the sound of your word this day. Hear and answer prayer, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're turning in the word of God to the Acts of the Apostles and the chapter 16 for our Bible reading. Acts chapter 16. And we're going to begin to read at verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which had resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she might attend unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. And in the reading in verse 15, we trust that the Lord will bless his own precious word to all of our hearts. We're going to join together in the singing of the hymn, "Come Every Soul by Sin Oppressed."
It is good to be here today, and we want to thank Mr. Park for conducting the earlier part of our meeting. We are turning in God's Word to the book of the Acts, into the chapter 16, and we want to focus on some verses that come right at the end of the portion that has been read. The introduction of Christianity to Europe was a humble affair. There was nothing very stately in the architecture of the edifice where the gospel was first preached. In fact, we have no evidence of the existence of any building at all. In all likelihood, it was an open-air service by the side of a river. Evidently, there were not enough Jews in the city of Philippi to allow the erection of a synagogue. And so a few worshippers, mostly women, met in this secluded spot. A stranger might traverse the city streets 100 times and never know of the existence of this meeting place. Paganism might appear to be universal in its reign. Who would care to notice the insignificant company assembled to offer prayer to the God of Israel? Well, today, we are going to take note of them. We are going to join with them, because a wonderful thing happened on that day when Paul and Silas visited. Here we see the triumph of God's grace in the life of the woman Lydia. Now there are lessons in this for us all. In considering the experience of Lydia, we cannot but learn of true conversion. True conversion. Of what it means to be brought into a saving relationship with the God of heaven. And of course, my friends, there is nothing more important than this. Nothing more important. Let us just notice 3 things about Lydia. First of all, I want you to see that her heart was opened by the Lord. Her heart was opened by the Lord. Look again at the passage, if you will, the verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. The Lord opened her heart. What a treasure store of truth may be gleaned from that simple statement. The Lord opened her heart. First of all, let us remark that true religion is heart religion. True religion is heart religion. It was her heart that the Lord opened. We are not told of the Lord opening her mind, although that is part and parcel of true conversion. The mind must be made ready to receive the truth. But I tell you, there are those who have an intellectual understanding of the things of God, and that understanding does them no good. They know the facts, you might say. They know the details. But their hearts have never been opened. A little later on, we read in the book of the Acts of a conversation that took place between Paul and King Agrippa. And we might say that King Agrippa was a man who had a knowledge of the things of God. The conversation reveals that very clearly. He was not unfamiliar with the things of God. But he was not a Christian. He did not have a saving interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a man who apparently accepted the truth on a mental level, in his head, but it did not change him It did not make him a Christian. His heart had never been opened. True religion is heart religion. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Perhaps you are familiar with those thrilling verses a little later on in the New Testament scriptures over in the book of Romans. Many will know these verses and be familiar with what Paul says when he writes to the church at Rome, Romans 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How important it is that the heart is open to the truth of God. But there's another very important thing here. If the Lord opened Lydia's heart, then it implies that her heart needed to be opened. Her heart needed to be opened. Her heart was closed. Even as she made her way to the meeting place, she came with a closed heart. And oh, my friends, we must learn this. The heart of the sinner, the heart of man in his natural state, is shut fast against the gospel. Shut fast against the gospel. That heart does not want the message of salvation. That heart has no inclination whatever towards the Lord Jesus Christ. It has no room for him, but room only for its own sinful ways. You consider what we see all around us in this present age. You will not discover that for the most part the hearts of men are just craving the opportunity to get to God and to bow in submission to him, yielding to his word, molding themselves to his purpose. That is not how it is. That's not how it is. Because their hearts are closed. Their hearts are slammed shut against the gospel. I wonder if you recall how the people of Israel responded over and over again to the message that was sent to them by the Lord. There are so many examples that we might cite, but one that comes to mind especially is found in the Old Testament prophecy of Zechariah. And there we find these words: they refused to hearken. They stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear. They did not want to know. They did not want to hear. And there's nothing unique in that. It's a picture of the heart of the natural man, the heart that is by nature closed, and closed fast against God. We may even say that even though there are those who have certain religious impulses and perhaps an interest in the church or in the gospel message even, yet very often those individuals have no thought of God, no true thought of him. The Lord Jesus said there were those who drew near to him with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. And so for all their religion, their hearts were closed against the Savior. Lydia's heart needed to be opened. And of course there is something more, because we notice from the detail given that it was the Lord who opened Lydia's heart. It was the Lord. She did not open her own heart. Her prayers did not do it. Whatever religious exercises she performed did not do it. The witness and the preaching of Paul did not do it. The Lord did it. Only the Lord can open the heart of the sinner. To operate savingly upon human hearts belongs to God alone. Oh, we may convince minds. We may even stir emotions, but to reach the heart is a work of grace. And nothing short of the almighty power and purpose of God will accomplish it. He alone can break the bands which fasten the heart. He alone has the key to unlock its door. He is the master of the heart, just as he is its maker. There's a wonderful picture of God's work in salvation in the prophecy of Ezekiel back in the Old Testament. We read these words, "A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." And the point, of course, is it is the Lord who does all of these things. It's the Lord who provides the way of salvation, and it's the Lord who makes the heart amenable to that way. Not one would choose that way. Not one would look to Christ, left to themselves. Oh, we need to pray. We need to pray earnestly that the Lord will open hearts, for only he can do it. But notice from the narrative here, the second thing, Lydia listened to the message that was set before her. You can see the connection made in the text. Her heart was opened by the Lord that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So one follows on from the other, you might say. God had a purpose in bringing her to this place. He was going to change her. He was going to convert her. He was going to save her. Who knows but that God may have the very same purpose in relation to some individual in this gathering today, right now. Maybe God has brought you here to open your heart so that you might listen to the message that is being spoken. Her heart was opened, and so she listened to the word. The one follows from the other. It's a sign that God is at work. In the original, this word translated attended means to take heed. And the sense is that she gave careful attention to what was said, and she responded to what she heard. I wonder tonight, are you prepared to attend to the ministry of the word? Have you attended to the gospel of Christ? Have you done what God requires of you? We are not told specifically what Paul or any of his companions said on this occasion, but there's a sense in which we don't really need to be told. They would have spoken the word just as they spoke it on every other occasion where opportunity was given. If we go down a verse or two beyond the passage read, we discover a testimony borne by another who heard the truth. And she says in verse 17, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." That's what they preached. The way of salvation. And so Paul would have told these women of sin, the sin that will destroy and damn every soul if it's not dealt with. He would have told them of Christ, who lived and died so that those who believe on him might be saved. He would have told them of God's command to repent of sin and look to the Savior in faith. Lydia heard these things, and she heeded, she responded, she obeyed. And we notice in closing that she gave immediate evidence of the reality of her conversion, because we look at the narrative again, we see that she was baptized in verse 15, and then we read, she says, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. Her baptism was a sign of the work of grace that had been done within her. And she immediately wanted to identify with the people of God. She wanted them in her home. She wanted to serve them. She wanted to help them. She wanted to be with them. Why? Because she was changed. She was converted by the power of God. God stepped in and opened her heart, and she listened, and that made all the difference in the world. And it will too, for you who are here today, if you listen to the word, if you respond to it aright. The scripture assures us that if any one of us is in Christ, we are new creatures by the power of God. May God bless these thoughts from his word. Shall we close, please, with prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank thee this day for the opportunity given us to come to thee again. We thank thee for the testimony of thy word and for thy grace demonstrated in the life of Lydia and in so many other hearts and lives. And we pray today that in thy will hearts may be open to thy truth, and that the word being heard will be received, and it will be seen to be effective in the experience of all who embrace it. Grant that it will be so. Hear and answer prayer for us this day, we ask. We pray in the Savior's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.